Our lesson is in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 to 13, God's gracious ministry of Paul for us in the church. Back in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, Paul had written that we believers in the church will be an eternal display of the grace of God. Viewing God's gracious calling of the Apostle Paul for our behalf as Gentile Christians in the church era in Ephesians chapter 3, 7 to 13 provides a small glimpse of the vast extent of God's grace toward us Gentile believers. What we need to view to give added cause of our great thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer before we get into his word. Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity of coming into your presence and looking to you for the help that we need, first of all, to understand the word of God, and then secondly, to apply it in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we ask for the insight, Father, to understand it, understand your word, and then to the wisdom to rely on your Spirit so that we might actually fulfill the commands that God has for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we'll read the passage first and then we'll look at it. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. Whereof I, Paul's writing, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations, which are for you, which is for your glory. Paul explained to his Gentile Christian readers the great ministry that God had given him in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. The Apostle Paul wrote that he was made a minister of God according to the gift of God's grace to make known the previously hidden truth that Gentile believers would be made fellow heirs and members of the same body of the church as were Jewish believers in the Lord Jesus. This gift of ministry was given to Paul by the working of God's power, according to verse 7. Though Paul viewed himself as the very least of all the sanctified believers in Christ. If we consider how God had converted and equipped Paul for such a ministry, it is itself a testimony of the tremendous grace of God. Paul had been heavily involved in the movement of the Sanhedrin to the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr of the Christian church, as the official witnesses had laid their clothes down at his feet in Acts chapter 7, verse 58. Not only had Paul consented to Stephen's death, but he had ravaged the church, entering house after house of Christians and dragging off both men and women and committing them to prison. That's in Acts chapter 8, verse 3. While continuing to breathe out threats and murder against Christians, Paul had then acquired official letters from the Jewish high priest in Jerusalem to synagogue officials in Damascus to go and find and bind Christians there and bring them back bound to Jerusalem. I checked on my map the other day in my Bible Atlas and found that it was at least 150 miles from Jerusalem to Damascus, so that's a long way to go. This demonstrates the tremendous motivation that the Apostle Paul had before he knew Christ as his Savior to go out and try to stamp out what he thought was a dangerous cult in the Christian faith that had risen. So Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13 said that he had been a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent opponent to believers in the church. That Christ had appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, he'd converted him, and given him the role of not only supporting the church he had once tried to destroy, but revealing the previously hidden great truth that Gentile believers were now people of God with saved Jews. You remember in Acts chapter 9, 3-16, where the Lord appeared in that great light and knocked Paul off of his horse. And the Lord asked him, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Paul wanted to know, Lord, who are you? And he says, I'm Jesus. What a shock. But he became a firm believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And after he was converted and his eyesight was restored to him after he had been blinded on the road to Damascus, right in Damascus, he went into the synagogue and started preaching Jesus Christ and created quite a stir. So he had a turnaround and about face when they came to know the Lord Jesus. Well, so great was this conversion of Paul from spiritual darkness to spiritual light that God made him an example of God's perfect patience for other believers who would believe on Christ for eternal life. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern or a template to them which should hereafter believe on him unto life everlasting. So the implication is, if God could do that for Paul, what can he do for me? In spite of the fact that I had a real bad life as an unbeliever before I came to know Christ as my Savior, God took a man who had been involved in terribly persecuting and trying to destroy the church and turn him around, and actually gave him the tremendous ministry of exposing the spiritual depths and the truths related to the church. Well, this very Paul was directed of God to make all men see what was the fellowship of Jewish and Gentile believers in Christ in the previously hidden institution of the church, which truth had been hidden in God from the beginning of the world by the one who had created all things by Christ Jesus. In verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So way back at the beginning of the creation of the world, God had in mind, in view of the fact that he could see that man would sin, he could see the division between Jew and Gentile coming and so forth. Eventually, he was going to gather together Jew and Gentile in Christ in a blessed fellowship. Just a tremendous plan that God had. And Paul was given this tremendous ministry. As a result of this ministry by Paul of revealing this great but previously hidden truth, even angelic beings would learn of the manifold wisdom of God and his plan for the church, in accordance with the eternal purpose which he had purposed in Jesus Christ. You'll notice in verse 10, to the intent that now principalities and powers in heavenly places. Those are words that are used. Principalities and powers are used of the angelic realm. And that would be not only good angels, but possibly even demonic beings. In the heavenlies might be known the church, the manifold wisdom of God. What God is doing now in saving us Gentiles and putting us in the same body as saved Jews and uniting us in Christ is something that is a great revelation to angels. This is new. This is big. And they're probably, their jaws are just dropping because they know that the division that had been there before was so great. But God is teaching even the angelic beings what is going on. So Paul then asserted that all of us believers, Jews and Gentiles alike, with him now have boldness and access to God with confidence through our faith that is in him. That's a tremendous verse, verse 12, in whom we, Jew and Gentile, have boldness. Can you imagine, we as Gentiles actually have boldness in interacting with God right now. And access with confidence, we can be confident in coming to the Father, that he's going to accept us by the faith that is in him, a faith that is, of course, in the Lord Jesus Christ and in God the Father through Christ. What an amazing thing. We were estranged from God. We were outside. We were enemies of God. And now we are not only included within the group of those fellow believing Jews, but we actually are so fully accepted we can have boldness in the presence of a holy God. What a change has occurred for us. Therefore, Paul asked his believing Gentile readers in the church not to lose heart over what he was suffering for them as a prisoner of Rome, for his ministry was for their glory and God's elevating them to be fellow heirs with Jewish believers in the very same body. Paul had suffered great hatred from his countrymen for teaching that Gentile believers were now fellow heirs with Jewish believers in the church. a hatred that had led to Paul's imprisonment. This is in Acts 22, verse 21 to chapter 25, verse 12. However, so wonderful was the spiritual union of Jew and Gentile in Christ that Paul gladly bore such sufferings for the sake of fellow Gentile believers in Christ. You imagine, the Apostle Paul had been a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was as theologically conservative as you could be, very devout, but the Lord changed his whole frame of reverence, his whole way of thinking. So now he is suffering terribly for talking about Jews and Gentiles in Christ coming together. But his whole mentality has been changed. And so he views himself as being very blessed of God to have the privilege of suffering for upholding the truth that we Gentiles are one with Jewish believers in Jesus Christ. Just amazing transformation that has occurred. So in lesson, the abundant grace of God that took a Hebrew man in Paul to convert him from being the church's greatest human foe to its greatest revealer of God's formerly hidden truth of the union and fellowship of Jew and Gentile in Jesus Christ, which truth was a revelation of the wisdom of God to both men and even angels, was such a great grace. It should cause us Gentile believers in the Lord Jesus to be forever thanking and praising God for his grace to us. You know, as believers, I know we're facing an era right now of a pandemic. I know there are a lot of people that are wringing their hands and everything, but as believers, man, spiritually, we're almost, I would say, spoiled in a good way. We have been brought into very close fellowship with the Father, and as a result of that, we have hope. There's a resurrection that is coming. There's a rapture of the church that is coming, and we will be with our Heavenly Father in heaven, in glory, participating in and sharing in the glory of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, all because of the grace, all because of the unmerited favor of God. So we don't have a problem. What we need to do is to rejoice in the Lord. So in application, may we glorify God for his great grace in converting and using Paul to reveal our blessings in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.